This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Enterprise Biz Bytes. I'm Rich Bradbury. I'm in the studio with
Arvind Braj
and Christine Wong.
We are with you all the way through until 1 o'clock this afternoon. And of course, we have a topic for you, which we'll be introducing in just a moment. It's all about procrastination, that thing when you stubbornly stay up late for no reason because you feel like you didn't get any time to yourself. We're going to be talking about that.
Mm-hmm.
They call it revenge bedtime procrastination. And our question is, do you procrastinate before going to bed? And if so, what do you do instead if you don't do that? Do you read a book? Do you use your phone? Do you watch Netflix and TV? Or is it something else? Or is it all of those things? I have fallen into many traps over the last few years.
Mm-hmm.
I probably do a little bit of all of them. Let us know. Get us on WhatsApp, of course, 018-789-8899. Twitter or Instagram, we're at BFM Radio. We're also talking about...
We're going to talk about free business registration for all B40 entrepreneurs.
And then we'll talk about how Spotify lets anyone work from home.
And we will be hearing from an expert regarding our topic of discussion. We spoke with Farida Hamid. She's a conscious communications coach for business leaders. You can find her on LinkedIn, Clubhouse, and YouTube. Right then. So where do we start with this? It's late. You're exhausted. You've barely had time to eat dinner or shower after work. Maybe you've watched a few episodes of a show, read a chapter or two of your book, struggled through your skincare routine for some of us, Arvind. Now, you're in bed and you know you should sleep, but you keep scrolling past the point that it feels good. Your eyes are starting to close. You've got to be up at 5 a.m. for work, but you're not ready for some rest. Some part of you is feeling a little bit unsatisfied. This activity has a name, bedtime revenge procrastination. And it's a phrase popularized by millennials and Gen Z in China, which literally translates to sleepless night revenge. And it's the combination of a capitalist workday mixed with work from home life and an ever growing attachment to technology is a perfect storm that's contributed to this thing. And intuitively, we know that we need to rest in order to become productive again. So when we lack the resource of relaxation during the day, we try to find it in other places and times, even if it's at the expense of our sleep. So back in June, as writer Daphne Lee started talking about it on Twitter as a phenomenon in which people who don't have much control over their daytime life refuse to sleep early in order to regain some sense of freedom during late night hours. This was then taken by a girl on TikTok, and she essentially came across this term, read about the definition, and started talking about it on TikTok, where she said, fun fact, did you guys know that there's a thing called revenge bedtime procrastination? She asked in a video. That video then went on to be viewed 13.6 million times, where people will refuse to sleep. And everybody would say, yep, that's me.
Mm-hmm.
So why do we do it? So they spoke with a whole bunch of people, and they spoke with this clinical social worker and therapist. And she says that she's got both a personal and professional experience with this phenomenon. After a day of office work and an evening of caring for her kids, she would lose sleep in favor of unwinding. And she reasoned that this is my only time to breathe, to be human, to be a woman. But her late night habit created an anxiety spiral that eventually resulted in panic attacks. And she's seen this in her parents too. A lot of the clients have got kids or multiple jobs or their home life isn't great. So they're picking and choosing times when they can really cater to themselves. And that usually is at night. And for many of us, when we finally put away all our technical device at the end of the night, it's the first time that we're left alone with our thoughts and feelings without any distractions. And if we're afraid of what we might find, or perhaps more commonly know, that we will be met with uncomfortable, complicated, or heavy thoughts or feelings, we're going to unconsciously try to avoid them. And this is all about engaging in that late night scroll. And it may be an attempt to either push off the flood of emotion that might hit us when we close our eyes, or to exhaust ourselves to the point that we instantly fall asleep and don't have to think at all. That point really hit me heavy when I first read that.
It also got dark.
Yeah, but
fast.
It's true though, right?
It's true.
Yeah, yeah.
And accurate. Now, why is it so much worse right now? Obviously, demands on our time have gotten higher during the work-from-home period of time, not lower. Our workdays are lasting longer because there's no clear separation of when we should stop. And on top of that, we're lonely. You know, we're inherently social animals, and social media provides us with that access and a conduit to other people's social lives that, especially right now, is less available. So it absolutely does not surprise me at all that we're trying to take back control over a very stressful time. So scrolling through your phone at night allows us to imagine alternative realities of things we could be doing. You know, we could be traveling, we could be doing all of these other things. Now, often there's a lot of research showing that feeling that like you have a bit of free time is super important for your well-being. But at the same time, many of the problems that drive revenge sleep procrastination, feeling depressed, being too burned out to enjoy your day and so on, all of these things, ironically, would go away if we got better and more sleep. So there's the rub, right?
Mm.
You're laid in bed trying to sleep, but you're doing the thing that's preventing you from sleeping. Mm-hmm. However, if you were to sleep, you probably won't be feeling these things that's making you do that thing in the first place.
Vicious circle.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So to wrap up, revenge bedtime procrastination is that however bleak its origins are and whatever toll it takes, it's a quiet reminder sometimes from your unconscious that you really do like being alive. There are so many things in life that you don't want to fall asleep and miss them. You know, you want more funny videos. You want more texts from a friend. You want more feeling of feeling a little bit awake. And you want that feeling of being happy and free. So that idea, you're just scrolling because you're like, this is the one time that I can experience all of those things right now. And that's why it's so prolific right now. Clearly and obviously fall into this trap,
yeah.
Right? And when I shared this story yesterday, my partner was like, that is absolutely you, you know? And reading just back through some of those things, I'm like, yeah, absolutely. I do that. I come home from work or I finish doing what I'm doing, my editing and whatnot, and I'm sat scrolling and scrolling and scrolling till literally my phone is dropping on my face.
Yep.
You know?
That has happened.
You've been there, right?
Mm-hmm. When you brought this up, especially this topic, I just want to say that it's because of time and it's because you get like a bit of quiet and a bit of time at the end of the day. So I'm able to like sit down, try to read a book, especially like comic books and stuff, because I can't do it during the day. But then listening to this and how it has to do with like psychology and how you think and how you don't want to miss out on stuff in life and all that. Now I'm going like, wait, so should I put that all aside and go to sleep? But if I, like you said, if I go to sleep, then I'm thinking and I don't want to be thinking about things that I don't want to think about.
Right.
One of the things that this article brings up is, you know, to potentially shift, you know, that period of thinking to within your workday.
Yes.
But I don't really understand how that can work because when I'm doing my workday, I'm focused on my workday.
Yeah.
And a lot of the things that this is going to get dark. I'm so sorry. A lot of things that keep me up at night are things that have nothing to do with rationale or logical thinking. It's like, you know, embarrassing memories from my past or thinking about where my future will hold or anything like that. And it's not really stuff that has any concrete, not exactly solution, but it's not really anything that I can defeat with logic, right? And the reason why I think that it comes more throughout, you know, during the night times because I no longer have anything to distract myself with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's really what it is.
Yeah. The issue now, obviously, is that we have everything to distract ourselves with, right? But you're right, Chris. In part of this article, one of the people that they feature in this article is a woman that works from home and is often distracted whilst working at home by her kids. And she's saying she felt really guilty because she literally had to shut the kids out of the door and out of the office and have a few minutes to herself where she can watch half an episode of something on Netflix, you know, like 15, 20 minutes or whatever, and just be able to catch her breath and breathe. And I can understand how that is going to transpose itself to the working day where you just here before we would put our headphones on, you know, and just sit there for 10 or 15 minutes with a screen open, perhaps editing something or playing something on loop in the background just to kind of, you know, clear your head. But you're right, Chris, that time of just like putting things aside and having nothing going off in my head. And my head suddenly going, hey, but do you remember that time when you were 18? And I'm like, I don't want to be hearing that thing. You know?
Remember that time is one thing, but then it's the perfect time for like an existential crisis.
Oh, absolutely.
Especially now.
Just the big why.
Yeah.
Like, why? Yeah. You know? And that's the rabbit hole you don't want to go down. every day.
But according to this article, the way to get rid of that why is to push through it and start sleeping earlier, you know, and kind of embrace those thoughts and try and get through it, because apparently you can. I've just never tried. Anyway, we should hear from an expert coming up very shortly. But to take us into the break, I know some of you out there are doing this same thing. Let us know how you are coping with it. Do you procrastinate before you go to bed? And if so, what do you do? Let us know via WhatsApp, 018-789-8899. Twitter or Instagram. We have a poll over there, of course, at BFM Radio. We've got some messages over WhatsApp we'll get to in just a few moments. First up, Sly and the Family Stone with Ride the Rhythm here on BizBytes on BFM 89.9.
Bring forth Malaysia. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to Enterprise BizBytes. My name is Rich Bradbury.
I'm Vinny Viraj.
And Christine Wong.
We're talking about whether or not you procrastinate before you go to bed. And if so, what do you do instead? Do you?
Do you read a book? Do you use your phone? Watch Netflix or TV? There's 10% for read a book, 58.9% for use phone, and 28.1% for watch Netflix or TV. A couple of messages. This comes from Ravi, who says, read online news reports. And Christine Ho says, joining webinars, meetings, conference calls from different time zones, like at New York time or London time, it can drag on well past bedtime.
That's all because of, you know, that feeling when you stubbornly stay up late for no reason because you feel like you didn't get any time to yourself? Yeah, revenge, bedtime, procrastination. What have we got over on Instagram, Chris?
So on Instagram, we've got a poll that just is yes or no. So do you procrastinate going to bed? And unsurprisingly, a whopping 89% of people on Instagram do in fact procrastinate going to bed. So here are a couple of ways that they do that. We've got Ivan A. David, who says usually it's the phone, browsing videos or reading articles. Lily says watch Netflix. Kyellen 5016 says use my handphone. Kylan K says Netflix, games, or scrolling through social media. And also Vincent Tan says scrolling through Facebook or Instagram has become a habit before going to bed.
I've got Reddit. Reddit is my time sink. Oh, my word. I cannot put it down. Over on WhatsApp, Tan Tiong Jin has said, revenge, bedtime, procrastination. I am very guilty of that. Belinda has said, I love to bake, so normally watch a couple of YouTube videos on cake recipes. Sweet dreams thereafter. Not a bad idea, but do you not go to bed hungry? I know I would.
Oh, yeah, we get
I
so would, hungry.
Number ending 4857. Hi, Rich, Arvin, and Christine. It's May here. Hi, mate. Yeah, I'm totally sort of guilty of procrastinating and going to bed, Netflix, and looking through my Instagram until I feel my eyes getting really heavy. Then it's lights out for me. Yeah, been there. Now, of course, we wanted to get somebody else's opinion on this. So we did manage to get Farida Hamid on the phone. She's a conscious communications coach for business leaders, and you can find her on LinkedIn, Clubhouse, and YouTube. So, Farida, had you heard of this term before?
No, I haven't heard about it before. But when I Googled the phrase revenge bedtime procrastination, it showed over 1.5 million answers. So clearly it's a topic that has gained traction and is the subject of worldwide discussion. I know it's been discussed on CNN and the BBC, and there's a lot of people giving their opinions about this and people from all over the world sharing their experiences. What I do want to say is that the word itself is actually a stitching together of the words revenge and bedtime, and they've tagged it to the word procrastination. That's called a neologism, which is a new use for an old word. At the heart of it, though, is the word procrastination, and that's nothing new.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of new, is this a new or fairly recent phenomenon?
So I mentioned earlier, it's fundamentally not a new phenomenon. It's just a spin on a behavior that existed long before the handphone. Everybody knows about procrastination. We all procrastinate to some extent. Also, who says it only happens at bedtime? The thing about social media is that people are on it all times, at, in, you know, all different kinds of social media. Just go to Twitter, Clubhouse, LinkedIn. Even if you go now or you go during working hours, people are on it all the time. There's nothing really wrong with that because we all need a break. And that's healthy, right? If you're doing some work, you need to take regular breaks. And if going to social media is what works for you, then that's great. The real issue, though, at the heart of it is that people are working longer hours and are finding it harder and harder to separate the boundaries between work and home. So they find solace in going to social media And then the question becomes, you know, if that translates to their behavior at night, then what are some of the underlying causes?
Right. So is there a healthier alternative to putting off your bedtime other than staring at a screen?
To me, there's nothing inherently unhealthy about it, as long as people don't do it all the time. Before the handphone, you know, it can be watching a movie past your bedtime or staying up chatting with a close friend. All of these can be methods of relaxation for lots and lots of people. I don't know why they've added the word revenge to it, maybe to make it more sexy, but the word revenge to me sounds very passive-aggressive. The way I look at it is this. As long as it's not hurting anyone else, who are we to say if it's healthy or unhealthy? Even the blue light from the screen, which affects the production of the hormone melatonin, which we all know is not good for you, especially at night, because it controls your sleep-wake cycle, even that, you can adjust the light on your settings as well. Also, all the handphones now show you, you know, like how many hours you spent on the phone. So that's another good way to track if you're spending too much time. But even how fast someone falls asleep or how much sleep people need, it's different for every person. So, you know, you have to do whatever works for you.
So do you think that working from home increases or decreases the chances of somebody procrastinating like this?
To be honest, I really don't know the answer to that. What I do know is that the workday has gotten longer and longer, and this has been going on for, you know, for 20, 30 years. You add the long commute to and from work. In the Klang Valley alone, before the pandemic, it can easily take 2 hours to get to work and another 2 hours to get home. And you can see how much stress people are under. With the handphone, people are now on call 24/7 with the office. Most companies, if you ask them, will tell you they value work-life balance. But the reality is that you are on call even on weekends. You're getting messaging, you're getting, hey, return my call, have you finished this, have you done that? And if people don't respond, they get very anxious. So that, to me, is the real question, is that how are these blurred lines affecting the mental health of people that they feel that they need to do this kind of behavior on a regular basis?
Mm-hmm. But is it actually bad for you, or does it help someone decompress?
My philosophy in life is this. Anything in moderation is good. If mindlessly scrolling through the screen helps you relax, then do it. It's escapism, isn't it? Who are we to say your escapism is better than my escapism? It's about doing what you want and having me time. Does it help people decompress? I don't have the answer for that. The issue is whether you're overstimulating your brain by consuming information at a late hour, when really what you need to be doing is relaxing the brain and starting to prepare for sleep. When the brain is overstimulated, it's just going to take you a lot longer to fall asleep. The problem is, if it's an addiction, isn't it? Then there is a deeper question of what are the underlying emotions that are driving that behavior? Because anything that you do consistently and you don't even realize you're doing for that long is an addiction. And we don't want to talk about the handphone addiction. I mean, there are conversations about it, but this to me is the most serious addiction that people are facing.
Hmm, right. So what suggestions would you give to someone who finds themselves falling into this bedtime procrastination trap regularly?
Life is complicated enough with all the things people are going through with the enforced isolation due to the pandemic. Your body needs to rest to deal effectively with the anxiety and stress. Everybody is handling the emotions and the reaction to the pandemic differently. You need your rest. When you sleep, your body goes to work to regulate itself. It repairs itself while sleeping. It fights inflammation, infection, trauma, and just a few of the things that the body is working all night to help you stay healthy. The important thing is to find a way to relax the mind, because to me, that is the one that really needs to shut down so that, you know, you can have a good night's sleep. Like for me, I generally need about 7 to 8 hours sleep, otherwise I'm a bit of a zombie. Some people can go with far less. But this is the thing that you need to understand your body's rhythm, right? When you are rested, you just know you can handle stresses that come your way a lot better.
Thank you very much. That was Farida Hamid. She's a conscious communications coach for business leaders. You can find her on LinkedIn, Clubhouse, and YouTube. I mean, there's stuff in there that I absolutely relate to. Mm. I think the idea of it being revenge, though, is because it does feel like that sometimes. It feels like you're getting your own back on, like, you know, the corporate capitalist world. You know, like, yeah. My time, I want it back.
Maybe instead of revenge, it's more like you're reclaiming your time,
yeah.
right? You know,
yeah.
and it's like, if you can't have more time in shortening your workday, you're extending the rest of your day,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah, yeah. Or it's just time management,
but
I guess.
In doing so, you're punishing yourself, really, without... you do realize it.
It doesn't feel like that, though.
No, it doesn't, of course, no. And generally, that's what an addiction is, right?
Yeah.
We should probably take a break. time for us to get some music to take us into the break. It's Juice Newton with Queen of Hearts here. We'll have an update from Bursa at break when we come back. But don't forget, the question that we are asking is, do you procrastinate before you go to bed? And if so, what do you do? Do you read a book? Do you check your phone? Do you watch Netflix or TV? Or do you do something else? We'll be right back after these messages here on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.